HarperCollins presents Meet Me Under the Northern Lights by Emily Carr, read by Katrin Walker Booth. Chapter 1. No pass, no entry. But I'm due on air in less than 10 minutes, I pleaded into the intercom, hopping anxiously from one foot to the other as I tried rummaging through my handbag yet again to find my missing ID. I racked my brains to see if I could work out when I'd last seen it, but my memory of last night was a little patchy. Mornings will do that to a person, although it could also have had something to do with the open bar at Barry, the security guy's retirement bash. Given my early alarm call, I should probably have given it a miss. But as I remind my mum when she drops one of her frequent hints about me needing to be sensible and settle down, if Lucy's life is boring, so is Lucy's radio show. Besides, it would have been rude not to have given Buzzer a decent send-off.
That's what they all say.
Barry's replacement on the other side of the door sounded supremely indifferent to my plight. I could just about make out his shadowy form through the glass. He was lolling behind the reception desk, hands behind his head. If I wasn't very much mistaken, my frantic ringing of the buzzer had woken him up from a nap. I don't really blame the guy. I would much rather have been asleep too. How many people do you get trying to break in at stupid o'clock in the morning? People aren't that desperate to get hold of the coffee cups we give out as prizes. I regretted the words instantly. If I was going to get into the studio on time to wake up the good folk of the UK with the effortless stream of cheery banter that they'd come to expect from their favourite breakfast radio presenter, then I needed to get this bloke onside and fast. Unfortunately, it's a little hard to charm someone into submission when they're nice and cosy inside and you're stuck out in the dark, freezing your butt off. I settled instead for the unsubtle method of rapping my knuckles against the doorframe until the persistent banging irritated him sufficiently enough to drag himself up from his seat, turn the lights on, and come across to inspect me at close quarters. I practically genuflected when he finally opened the door. I'm so sorry for disturbing you, and I promise I won't forget my pass again, but it's an emergency, and if I don't get into the studio in the next 5 minutes, the breakfast show won't get on air.
But the breakfast show is presented by Lucy Fairweather.
My adversary folded his arms and frowned disapprovingly. That's me, I said, trying to maintain a friendly demeanour while inwardly screaming in frustration. He looked at me, then pointedly glanced across at a triple-sized poster of my face which decorated the wall behind reception. He studied the image for a moment, then turned his attention back to my sorry features and shook his head in disbelief, leaving me feeling as attractive as the before picture in a magazine makeover. Yes, my appearance is a tad different from the poster girl version of myself, but show me a breakfast presenter without dark circles and bags under their eyes big enough to use instead of a suitcase for holidays. Getting up at 3:30 a.m. every weekday takes its toll on a person. Besides, I spent 4 hours getting contoured half to death for that picture, and they were extremely generous with the airbrushing afterwards. To be honest, I look nothing like that image, even on the rare occasion when I've had the energy to make an effort on a morning. It is me, I pleaded. I'm Lucy Fairweather, wishing you fair weather for today. I cringed as I put on my radio voice to do my trademark sign-off, in the desperate hope that it would spark some kind of recognition from the guy. His expression remained impassive. I was about to whip out my driving licence to see if he'd accept that form of ID, when my producer, Mike, a.k.a. the grumpiest man in broadcasting, stomped into reception and greeted me with his usual glower.
Where the bloody hell have you been? I was about to call the network and tell them they'd have to put out the emergency show. You're meant to be in the studio saying that kind of nonsense, not prancing around reception showing off to the help.
And a good morning to you too, Mike. Really sorry I'm cutting it so fine. I misplaced my pass again, as I was explaining to our very diligent new security guard. My attempt to ingratiate myself with Barry's replacement was met with stony silence, but he did at least move away from the doorway, so I could squeeze past his mountainous form and into the building. The on-air light outside the studio flashed, giving us a warning that we had only 3 minutes until I was due to broadcast. Mike's expression grew more thunderous, and I braced myself for the traditional round two of him making a snide comment.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?